Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
I kind of really love that chicken sounds and like being on a farm at the end. I really, really enjoy that, man. I'm a Texan, y'all. I'm from the South, a trucker by trade. This show is supposed to aired at 5 p.m. Central Time, Sunday, Mondays, and Thursdays. But my career as a trucker kind of gets in the way, y'all. And I am rolling. And you know what? If I can't pause and get in the scriptures, man, you know, it's just not safe for me to try to host a show and drive at the same time, man. It's not wise or safe. And Sister Thale just had to, you know, kind of give me some wisdom on that, I guess is a nice way of saying it. And, I had to humble myself down and, okay, man, I just, you know, it's about safety first. And just hopefully the listeners understand, you know what I'm saying? We all got our jobs. And this is my trade, y'all. Let me open up the book of Jasher. And all together, there's 91 chapters, okay? So we are super, super close and wrapping this book up. I guess once we get close to the end, we'll decide on what we want to do next. Because I got a surprise for Sister Thale tonight. And I'll wait till I bring her on. But, yeah, so we want to definitely get back into the book. Jasher, ain't it interesting, y'all? So here we go. Up to this point, the book of Jasher definitely been dropping gems on us and revealing, like, the inside details of what happened that our normal canon didn't cover. Just a little, you know, conversations here and there or incidents that took place. We also noticed and watched and listened, if I can talk. We also noticed in the book of Jasher that they embellished a little bit, like they was just, you know, like Superman jumping over walls and things like that. But we get the picture. These guys were athletic. They're God's chosen people, man. He gave them that extra speed, the extra strength that they had, you know. But in reality, in my understanding, y'all, this is how I view it, okay, that they embellished a little bit, put a little bit more emphasis on it, you know. Don't get me wrong, what's in our canon, definitely got some miracle in their fighting and things like that, and Jasher definitely provides that. I don't know, it just kind of seems like they put a little extra mustard on there, you know. Which is all good, because you understand that this is passed down from generation to generation of Israel about the story of how they, from a family perspective, getting passed down. So, I mean, why not? Why not embellish a little bit, right? Our ancestors were our heroes. And I totally dig it, and I guess that's what makes it, you fall in love with it a little bit. But I need to also remind everybody that our canon is held up higher than the book of Jasher. It is the book of authority. And whatever we come across in Jasher, it's just for our knowledge, okay? It's not really used for debate or making a claim in a doctrine that this happened, you know, that Issachar jumped over a wall or something, and, you know, or whatever. I'm just saying, you know. You could, in like in a reference, but as far as being debatable, we don't know who actually wrote it down. So it's just our Hebrew literature, our Hebrew writings. This is Hebrew text. Israelites wrote this. We just don't know who or what family or what. Jasher, I believe, stands for upright. So this is the book of the upright ones, right? So they're good, upstanding people that passed this down, and it made it to the Dead Sea Scrolls. So this is a, you know, one of the books that they call the Mini Genesis, but they also call the Book of Jubilees the Mini Genesis. So it's just telling the same story again and again, basically. I don't know who wrote the Book of Jubilees, neither. But I guess we'll get to that later. But without further ado, y'all, let me go ahead and open up Sister Thale's mic so she can chime in. All right, Sister Thale, you are live on the air.
Shalom, shalom, brothers and sisters. I'm glad to be here with you guys tonight. I know, like you said, brother, you know, you're a trucker by trade, and you're moving, and you're trying to get this information across. So you know what? The good thing about it is technology. Now we can go back and we can listen to it again, and if we miss the original time, you know, now it's where we can have that ability to go back and listen to it. So it's a great thing. And then, too, who knows? Like I said, there's no mistakes. You don't make mistakes. There may be someone tonight that's going to hear it that would not have heard it if you came on at 5. So we have to just know that the Most High, the Messiah, the Holy Spirit is working it. And we're just servants. And we just want to do our part. And we just want to connect. And we want to bring out information, and so that they may hear, because so much has been withheld from us before. Let's learn together.
Right on, right on.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah. Okay, so the Book of Jasher?
Yeah.
Are we in chapter 80?
So we did finish chapter 79. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, so. So basically tonight what we're going to be doing is diving into the plagues on Egypt. All right. And witnessing the Most High's power over Egypt. Now keep in mind that the Most High could simply wipe Egypt off the map. But there's a reason why he's going about it in this method. All right? He's sending this messenger to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh saying no. And then Moses and Aaron turn around, and then a plague happens. And then after the plague, they come to him again. He's saying no. There's a reason why this back and forth. But don't get it twisted. It's not that we're trying to get him to say yes or something like that. Because the Most High ain't really asking him to, like, begging Pharaoh to let the people go. But at the same time, it's all part of his plan. It's all about showing Israel the bigger message. There's a bigger message in it, is I guess my point I'm trying to make. And I also want to let everybody know, just keep in mind, just put it on the back shelf, that all through our canon, from the front of it to the back, front of it to the end, references to Egypt always remain, right? So, like the New Covenant and everything, he's comparing it to Egypt. Israel, first time that the Most High spanked them, so to speak, right? Because he spanked them with slavery. When they mess up or do something bad, he put slavery on them, right? So this is the very first time they was in captivity, the things that went down, and he compared everything. Well, you know, this is the one to be remembered out of all the other captivities. This is the major one. And when he brings it back full circle, He compares the last slavery that they're ever going to be into. He's comparing it to this time period in Egypt. So there's all types of factors that we need to take notes of and keep a close eye on the details of it, right? The Pharaoh himself, the type of personality he has, his disrespect for the Most High, his arrogance, his unbelief, knowledge, the people that surrounds him, these wizards. Every little detail about Egypt, we're supposed to psychologically kind of put it on the back shelf, because in our canon, when we finally get to, you know, the day of the Lord, so to speak, you know, it's all going to come full circle on the chain of events that take place. It's going to, with a stretched out arm, he's going to, you know, take Israel from all the places that they're scattered to. He referenced this time period. And so it would be not identical, but it's going to be like how he did it here. So in Egypt. So, all right. Now, Sistel, I got a surprise for you. All right, I got a surprise for you. Let's see here. I'm losing chain of thought. I did have a surprise for you. I just,
okay.
I forgot what I wanted to tell you. It was some good news, though.
Okay.
At least I thought it was something that'll make you smile, but I'm losing train of thought here.
Okay.
Before we get
started,
take your
time.
Yeah. Okay. It'll come to me. I remember.
Israel.
Not the case. That's not the case.
I was hoping that she left a word.
The third book of Maccabees. I have
all
that.
Right. Okay.
I thought
all
that.
Right.
Yeah. All right, because we read the first and second Maccabees, and well, the first Maccabees, man, they went down in a blaze of glory. The heroes falling in battle. And we was following along, and when we read the second Maccabees, it started from an earlier time period. And it was very interesting, a little roller coaster with that. But now I got the third and fourth Maccabees. So I thought that
all
was...
Right.
Because now we get to pick up where we left off.
Right.
With that,
yeah,
with
that
younger
awesome.
Brother taking... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm saying that to say the Book of Jasher is coming to a close. So I had ideas of hopping into our main canon and reading in there. Or we can go to the Book of Jubilees next, or we can go to the Maccabees. We can go to the Apocrypha, you know, where the Maccabees and Book of Esdras. Oh, there's so many books out there. Oh, we got so much to read. I mean, a full library of books to read.
So. Hopefully we'll get some feedback on it.
Yeah, but it's not, it's okay if we don't. If they want to just listen, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. So, yeah. Okay. So with that being said, we're on chapter 80, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 80. Let's do a little recap, though. In 79, Moses was in Midian, and it starts off with him feeding the flock, and then he stumbled across the burning bush, and... the Most High talks to Moses through the burning bush, all right? Sends him on his assignment And what we see in Jasher that he initially took his wife and kids with him. And something happened along the way. The Most High thought about killing Moses. Right? And that's something that's not in our canon. But apparently, let's see. Let me just read verse 8 right quick. And Moses rose up to go to Egypt, and he took his wife and sons with him, and he was at an inn in the road. And an angel of God came down and sought an occasion against him. And he wished to kill him on account of his firstborn son, because he had not circumcised him and had transgressed the covenant which the Lord had made with Abraham. So, because Moses broke a law, right, and didn't circumcise his son on the eighth day, hearkening to his father-in-law, God thought about just killing him. You know what I'm saying? So that's something that, you know, that's something that not in our canon right there. His wife, you know, kind of seen what was happening, and she took it upon herself to go and circumcise her son. And then once she did that, that angel of the Lord, I guess, kind of disappeared. All right. So let me just read 11 right quick. And Zipporah saw the angel of the Lord seeking an occasion against Moses, and she knew that this thing was owing to his not having circumcised her son, Gershom. And Zipporah hastened and took of the sharp rock stones that were there, and she circumcised her son and delivered her husband and her son from the hand of the angel of the Lord. And Aaron, the son of Abram, the brother of Moses, was in Egypt, walking at the riverside on that day. And the Lord appeared to him in that place. And he said to him, go now toward Moses in the wilderness. And he went and met him in the mountain of God and kissed him. Okay. So, Zipporah, oh, she's a powerful woman here. I mean, she was able to perceive what was all going down. Or apparently this angel of the Lord was talking to Moses, and she understood what that, you know, what the angel was saying to him. It didn't go into detail on that conversation, but it said that the angel of the Lord was speaking on occasion to, you know what I'm saying, to kill him, you know. So I take it this angel was a little aggressive in what it was, you know, she can perceive what was happening. And she, you know, quickly took care of business and circumcised her son. So
well, this was Moses' firstborn.
Yes, his firstborn son. Uh-huh.
Yes, and he knew the history of his people about circumcision. But he allowed his father-in-law to dictate whether or not his firstborn son was to be circumcised or not. He went along with his father-in-law instead of the Most High.
Right, because his father-in-law apparently wanted... Because
apparently
wanted his firstborn to... Okay, go ahead.
Apparently, that's strike number one against Moses.
Yes.
Moses was chosen. But apparently that was a stumbling block. That was a hindrance. That kind of affect his following to the letter. The will of his father. Yeah. I hear you, brother, but I'm just saying, let's just remember that part because, you know, Moses is not going to see the promised land. I mean, he's not going to go into the promised land. So let's just understand the Most High. I mean, it's not that he was chosen for this. But and it's a good thing that his wife stepped in and did what she did because Moses may not have went past that angel at that point. It may not have went through the way it did, had not she did what she did. And I'm not just saying that because, you know, that's his wife and she's a woman, but when he gives you a wife, she has to be that type of person to bring up the rear. She's your side. She's right there by your side. She's a part of you. And she made that decision not to follow her father, but to follow along with her husband's, religious or customs. And she was, you know, so I'm just saying that's just to give her attention to her and to see that she was exceptional. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. She definitely sprang into action. And, but I want to say the relationship between her father and Moses apparently hearkened to him because they had this relationship. It was like a adopted father to him. I don't understand. He put Moses in prison for 10 years, but yet it's like
and
no
he,
hard feelings, you know?
Yeah, but he was also friends with the Egyptians. The high priest or the leaders
in
Egypt. That's how
right.
Yes, so that's how he was able to get that stick.
Right on. But yeah. So he definitely seemed like he wanted Moses' firstborn son to walk in the culture of the Midianites, and
yes.
or just be, you know, kind of both of his culture and things like that.
Yes,
and Most High was going to kill Moses behind that. And, when you mentioned that he didn't go into the promised land, this is the only incident that I could see that probably kept him from it. Because I think anything else Moses has done in his past, I like to think they was forgiven, you know.
Oh, yes, he did something else, brother. He did something else.
You talking about his past?
No.
That
he's going to come. No, sir. As we read on, we're going to find out. And we'll point that out. But we'll see his hesitance. I mean, he became hesitant.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Right. He had some stumbling moments.
This is
especially
something
when he was coming off the mountains. And and the tablets, when he broke the tablets. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying on that one.
Yes, sir, because, you know, even when we ask for prayers, I'm going to tell you, I have said this to so many people, and time again, I tell you what, it has been things, the power. I told them, you have to trust, and you have to believe. And you have to step out on faith. There's no power without the faith. You can't have the doubt. You have to go into it with the faith that he's going to do what he's going to do. And there is nothing above or below this world that can stop him. And that whatever he does, that you accept whatever the outcome, because you know he is all-powerful, he's the beginning, he's the end of everything, and you definitely want to be in the midst of all of that with him. And so therefore, whatever circumstances you're going through, you have to put your trust in him no matter which way it goes. You have to believe and trust in him, that he knows what's best for us. And so Moses hesitated.
Right.
And there comes a time when you can't hesitate. You just have to lay it all out there. And when you do that, miracles happen. The unbelievable happens.
Mm-hmm.
You get surprised, and so you'll know it's him without even having to question it. It's an unusual feeling, but it's definitely one that you'll never forget, or two, or three, like me.
Right.
I could just go on and on, but yeah, brother. Okay, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
No need to say you're sorry. It's all right. You just, especially on our book reading days, sister, you can let it go. Let it go. I also wanted to mention that 79 also has that first encounter between Moses, Aaron, and the Pharaoh, and the wizards, and the sticks turning to snakes.
Yeah.
And the wizards are seeing the power of the Most High, and they're trying to match it, right? And it's going to be like that, I think, for a couple more chapters before we get to the real meat of it. But all right, so here we go, y'all. Here's chapter 80. Let me clear my throat. I've been waiting on this to sell. All right, chapter 80, verse 1. And at the end of 2 years, the Lord again sent Moses to Pharaoh for the children of Israel and to send them out of the land of Egypt. So 2 years done passed by since the snake incident, them meeting Pharaoh, and Moses' snake ate the other snake and things like that, okay? So 2 years then went by. Verse 2. And Moses went and came to the house of Pharaoh, and he spoke to him the words of the Lord who had sent him. But Pharaoh would not hearken to the voice of the Lord. And God roused his might in Egypt upon Pharaoh and his subjects. And God smote Pharaoh and his people with very great and sore plagues. And the Lord sent by the hand of Aaron and turned all the waters of Egypt into blood with all the streams and rivers. And when an Egyptian came to drink and draw water, he looked into his pitcher, and behold, all the water was turned into blood. And when he came to drink from his cup, the water in the cup became blood. And when a woman kneaded her dough and cooked her victuals, their appearance was turned to that of blood. And the Lord sent again and caused all their waters to bring forth frogs. And all the frogs came into the houses of the Egyptians. And when the Egyptians drank, their bellies were filled with frogs. And they danced in their bellies as they danced when it went in the river. Okay. So basically they got sick, right, for drinking the water. And it seems like the frogs are just dancing in their bellies. But what they're basically saying, that they got, they tore their stomach up when they drunk some of that water, you know. So I guess that's basically what they're saying. All right. And all the drinking water and cooking water turned to frogs. Also, when they lay in their beds, their perspiration bred frogs. The water that's coming out of their body, the perspiration, their sweat. Any water, it had frog eggs in it, I guess, or something like that. Wow.
Well, we don't want to add to it, but yeah, it said frogs. Let's just go with it.
It bred frogs, right.
Okay.
Okay, notwithstanding all this, the anger of the Lord did not turn from them, and his hand was stretched out against all the Egyptians to smite them with every heavy plague. And he sent and smote their dust to life. And the lice became in Egypt to the height of 2 cubits upon the earth. That's a lot of lice. Okay. People with color
don't usually have lice.
Right. But then again, that's a lot
can.
Of lice. Yeah.
There's a reason behind it, and there's a scientific reasons behind that, but you can also having to do with the oils we use in our hair and that type of thing. So we'll keep on going. And but I think if you want to do your research, you can always do your research and find out.
All right.
But this is the first time I've read them talking about lice. It's just one of the plagues.
And verse 11. The lice were also very numerous in the flesh of man and beast, and all the inhabitants of Egypt. Also upon the king and queen, the Lord sent the lice, and it grieved Egypt exceedingly on account of the lice. All right. So it's just so much of it, despite, it's just a lot of them. The infestation. Okay.
Yeah, like fleas.
Notwithstanding this, the anger of the Lord did not turn away, and his hand was still stretched out over Egypt. And the Lord sent all kinds of beasts of the field into Egypt, and they came and destroyed all Egypt, man and beast, and trees, and all the things that were in Egypt. And the Lord sent fiery serpents, scorpions, mice, weasels, toads, together with other creeping in the dust, flies, hornets, fleas, bugs, and gnats, each swarm according to its kind, and all reptiles with winged animals according to their kind, came to Egypt and grieved the Egyptians exceedingly. And the fleas and flies came into the eyes and ears of the Egyptians. And the hornet came upon them and drove them away, and they removed from it into their inner room, and it pursued them. And when the Egyptians hid themselves on account of the swarm of animals, they locked their doors after them. And God ordered the Sulanus, which was in the sea, to come up and go into Egypt. And she had long arms, 10 cubits in length of the cubit of a man. And she went upon the roofs and uncovered the raftering and flooring and cut them and stretched forth her arm into the house and removed the lock and the bolt and opened the houses of Egypt. Afterward came the swarm of animals into the houses of Egypt. And the swarm of animals destroyed the Egyptians, and it grieved them exceedingly.
Okay, could that have been an octopus?
Mm-hmm.
We probably need to look up that definition.
Yeah, I let's look it up right now. Right now. Okay, S-U-L-A-N. Let's look it up right now. S-A-L.
S-U-L-A-N-U-T-H.
Okay, one more time.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me go back to it. Let's see. I think it was S-U-L-A-N-U-T-H. I was trying to look it up, too.
Okay, a monster in the sea ordered by God to come up and go into Egypt with arms 10 cubits in length, and she went upon the roof. Okay.
It sounds like an octopus that had arms.
A sea-dwelling creature, which resembles the salute from the Book of Jasher, appears to be stalking a merchant ship. See if there's an image to it. Oh, yeah, like a squid.
Yes, octopus, squid.
Oh, okay, now it's showing more ancient pictures. It does appear to have like a man-shaped body, a human-like body, like a mermaid or something. Different pictures. And then I see octopus weird.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just kind of looking at the different photos of it. All right, so I'm just looking at different photos of them, and so that's interesting. So a bunch of them came out of the sea, climbed onto the roof of the Egyptian style home. All right, and they their fear and weight or whatever, they were able to break through the roof and open up the door. Because apparently they got really long arms.
Yeah.
Right? Tentacles.
Yeah.
Or tentacles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they was able to open up these doors.
Yeah.
Because they got all these bugs, I imagine whatever eat the... I don't know. That's something else. All right, let's get back to it, y'all. Let's get back to it, Jasher. All right. Let's start, was it 21? They went up on the roof. Okay, let's go 22. Afterward came the swarm of animals into the houses of Egypt, and the swarm of animals destroyed the Egyptians, and it grieved them exceedingly. Notwithstanding this, the anger of the Lord did not turn away from the Egyptians, and his hand was yet stretched forth against him. And God sent the pestilence, and the pestilence pervaded Egypt, in the horses and asses, and in the camels, and herds of oxen and sheep, and in man. And when the Egyptians rose up early in the morning to take their cattle to pasture, they found all their cattle dead, and there remained of the cattle of the Egyptians only 1 in 10. And of the cattle belonging to Israel in Goshen, not one died. And God sent a burning inflammation in the flesh of the Egyptians, which burst their skin, and it became a severe itch in all of the Egyptians, from the soles of their feet to the crowns of their heads. And many boils were in their flesh, that their flesh wasted away, until they became rotten and putrid. All right, verse 29. Notwithstanding this, the anger of the Lord did not turn away, and his hand was still stretched out over all Egypt. And the Lord sent a very heavy hail, which smoked their vines and broke their fruit trees and dried them up that they fell upon them. Also, every green herb became dry and perished, for mingling fire descended amidst the hail. Therefore, the hail and the fire consumed all things. Also, men and beasts that were found abroad perished of the flames of fire and of the hail, and all the young lions were exhausted. And the Lord sent and brought numerous locusts into Egypt, the chasal, the lam, chagol, locust, each of its kind, which devoured all that the hail had left remaining. And the Egyptians rejoiced at the locusts, although they consumed the produce of the field, and they caught them in abundance and salted them to food. And the Lord turned a mighty wind. Yeah. So the Egyptians, they were eating locusts.
Yeah, and that's a delicacy still. Mm. Overseas.
And okay. And the Lord turned a mighty wind of the sea, which took away all the locusts, even those that were salted, and thrust them into the Red Sea. Not one locust remained within the boundaries of Egypt. And God sent darkness upon Egypt, that the whole land of Egypt and Pathros became dark for 3 days, so that a man could not see his hand when he lifted it to his mouth. At that time died many of the people of Israel who had rebelled against the Lord and who would not hearken to Moses and Aaron and believed not in them that God had sent them.
Okay. Hold up, brother.
Said, okay.
You see what he do? He had no mercy upon the Israelites that would not believe.
Right.
I'm just saying. Yeah. So there you go. And
yes,
he did that even when they crossed the waters. And everything, when Moses said, whoever be with him, come forth. And he threw those tablets, and all the ones that wanted to go their own way, they also passed on. There was no mercy for them.
Right.
Okay. Okay. All right.
All right. Okay.
So we can't rebel against the Most High. With 37, read that over.
Okay. At that time died many of the people of Israel who had rebelled against the Lord and who would not hearken to Moses and Aaron and believe not in them that God had sent them. So no wonder Egypt was that first spanking, because our minds were not right at this time period. All right, during the lifetime of Moses, Israel, even though they was in slavery, their minds were not right.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
All right.
And with all the plagues and everything, they still didn't believe.
Okay. And who has said, we will not go forth from Egypt, lest we perish with hunger in a desolate wilderness, and who would not hearken to the voice of Moses. And the Lord plagued them in the 3 days of darkness, and the Israelites buried them in those days without the Egyptians knowing of them or rejoicing over them. So the Egyptians didn't even know nothing about it, but the Israelites were dying.
Yeah, they died because they was rebelling against their own.
Verse 40. And the darkness was very great in Egypt for 3 days. And any person who was standing when the darkness came remained standing in his place. And he that was sitting remained sitting. And he that was lying continued lying in the same state. And he that was walking remained sitting upon the ground in the same spot. And this thing happened to all the Egyptians until the darkness had passed away. So it's like a freeze in time, right?
Yeah, they couldn't see right in front of them. So they dare not move.
Oh, okay. It kind of seemed like they was, whoever was standing, they were standing for three, they, you know, like it froze.
Yeah, as long as it was dark, yeah.
As long as it was dark. It's like it froze time then. like Paul's, like hit the Paul's book. You know, even if they lost.
Now, I think this was only, it was only for the, was it the Egyptians and the Israelites?
The rebellious Israelites.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. I'll read it again, 40. And the darkness was very great in Egypt for 3 days. And any person who was standing when the darkness came remained standing in his place. And he that was sitting remained sitting. And he that was lying continued lying in the same state. And he that was walking remained sitting upon the ground in the same spot. And this thing happened to all the Egyptians until the darkness had passed away. And the days of darkness passed away, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron to the children of Israel, saying, celebrate your feast and make your Passover, for behold, I come in the midst of the night amongst all the Egyptians, and I will smite all their firstborns, from the firstborn of a man to the firstborn of a beast. And when I see your Passover, I will pass over you. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. Thus did they in that night. And it came to pass in the middle of the night that the Lord went forth in the midst of Egypt and smote all the firstborn of the Egyptians, from the firstborn of man to the firstborn of beast. Okay, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all the servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry throughout Egypt in that night, for there was not a house in which there was not a corpse. Also the likeness of the firstborn of Egypt, which were carved in the walls and at their houses, were destroyed and fell to the ground. Even the bones of their firstborn who had died before this, and whom they had burned in their houses, were raked up by the dogs of Egypt. And that night, and
we're on that night.
Dogs of Egypt. Okay, on that night, and dragged before the Egyptians and cast before them.
Yeah.
And all the Egyptians saw this evil which had suddenly come upon them. And all the Egyptians cried out with a loud voice. And all the families of Egypt wept upon the night, each man for his son and each man for his daughter, being the firstborn. And the tumult of the Egyptians of Egypt was heard at a distance of that night. Okay, Sister L?
Yeah.
Okay, let's take an emergency break right quick, Sister L.
Okay.
Gotta take a little break right quick, y'all. Now bear with me. Okay, let's take a little break right quick. Pick right back up. Put you on hold, Sister L. Let's play a little song right quick. Let's see here. Okay, let's play this one.
I'm not ready for the lake, I repent to this day. I'm the one that built the calf, then was healed by the staff. How could the angels relate? I was stole from my case. I'm the one that's a slave. Y'all free me from the jail. It get cold in the cell, even colder in hell. When will we be avenged? So much blood on their hands. I'm the one that built the temple, out of gold, not silver. While we marrying their kids, putting rings on the pigs. You the one that was chose, turned from soil into gold. What's a fish to a bow, what's the dead to a crow? I'm the one that crossed the sea, led by fire in the night. I'm the one that killed Christ, so I'm dying in sin. With the nails in his hand, yeah, I'm nailed to the end. I'm the one that killed Paul, I'm in debt to the law. And myself in the trees, and I went and blamed Eve. Y'all, please show me grace. We need to bethink ourselves in the land where we were sold slaves, and repent and make supplication unto Yah in this land, saying, we have sinned, we have committed wickedness. And Yah, forgive thy people that have sinned against you, and all the transgressions wherein they have transgressed against you. And give them compassion where they were sold slaves, so that their enemies might have compassion on them as well. Cause I'm the one that wasn't changed. Just imagine the case. Saw my own mother hang. Just imagine the pain. Just imagine the rage. See my own father whip. He ain't do what they said, so they wanted him dead. See my own brother peel from his head to his heels. Was his skin worth the purse? Were my fingers worth shirts? Could have picked it yourself, or at least gave me shirts without holes. Gave me parts of the wealth. No, I won't just forgive. So much anger inside. Why they children alive?
Feel, but I have something to say that's true and it's real. And that's that I'm sorry for how we've behaved, starting the very moment that you were enslaved. Since we came in our boats and shackled your hands and shipped you back here to work on our land.
I'm the one that crossed the sea, led by fire in the night. I'm the one that killed Christ, so I'm dying to stand with the nails in his hand. Yeah, I'm nailed to the end. I'm the one that killed Paul. I'm in debt to the law. See myself in the trees, and I went and blamed Eve. Yeah, please show me. Please show me. Just bow with me. Yeah, please show me. Just bow with me.
All right. Thank you for that. Open up your mic, Sister Till. All right.
Nice.
Okay. I needed that. Thank you for helping me out right there. All right. Now. All right, we're back into the book of Jasher. Let's see, where did we leave off at?
49.
And Bathia, the daughter of Pharaoh, went forth with the king on that night to seek Moses and Aaron in their houses. And they found them in their houses, eating and drinking and rejoicing with all Israel. And Bathia said to Moses, is this the reward for the good which I have done to thee, who have reared thee and stretched thee out, and thou hast brought this evil upon me and my father's house? And Moses said to her, surely 10 plagues did the Lord bring upon Egypt. Did any evil occur to thee from any of them? Did one of them affect thee? And she said, no. And Moses said to her, although thou art the firstborn to thy mother, thou shalt not die, and no evil shall reach thee in the midst of Egypt. Okay, did you understand that, Sister? Okay. 53. And she said, what advantage is it to me when I seek the king, my brother, and all his household and the subjects in this evil, whose firstborn perish with all the firstborn of Egypt? And Moses said to her, surely thy brother and his household and subjects. Sister Bell. All right, what's going to happen? Okay, she wants to stop me on mute.
I'm sorry. No. I put myself on mute. I just kind of like to just hear you read.
Okay. Okay, gotcha.
So I won't be moving around. Right.
Okay. Well, what I'm reading here is Moses' daughter. She came to Moses like, man, I took you in, and you live like a royal prince, and this is the thanks we get for all of that.
You mean
right?
his
like,
mother?
The
mother that raised him? Egyptian mother?
Right, the Pharaoh's
daughter. Pharaoh's
daughter.
Yeah, that's the one that took him in as her own and had him nurse. Yeah.
Right. Okay. 52. And Moses said to her, although thou art the firstborn to thy mother, thou shalt not die, and no evil shall reach thee in the midst of Egypt. And she said, what advantage is it to me when I see the king, my brother, and all his household and subjects in this evil, whose firstborn perished with all the firstborn of Egypt? She said, what good is that when I see my brother and my fellow Egyptians, you know, going through it? And Moses said to her, surely thy brother and his household and subjects, the families of Egypt, would not hearken to the words of the Lord. Therefore did this evil come upon them. And Pharaoh, king of Egypt, approached Moses and Aaron, and some of the children of Israel who were with them in that place. And he prayed to them, saying, rise up and take your brethren and all the children of Israel who are in the land, with their sheep and oxen and all belonging to them. They shall leave nothing remaining. Only pray for me to the Lord your God. And Moses said to Pharaoh, behold, though thou art my mother's firstborn, yet fear not.
Oh, he said,
mother's firstborn.
Thy mother's firstborn, yeah.
Yeah,
he said,
behold, though thou art thy mother's firstborn, yet fear not, for thou wilt not die. For the Lord was commanded that thou shalt live, in order to show thee his great might and strong stretched out arm. So all of this was to show Israel is armed, but also show Egyptians the power of God, right?
The Pharaoh, right, the king.
And Pharaoh the children of Israel to...
Go ahead, brother. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm just talking. You got to keep going.
And Pharaoh ordered the children of Israel to be sent away, and all the Egyptians strengthened themselves to send them, for they said, we are all perishing. And all the Egyptians sent the Israelites forth with great riches, sheep and oxen, and precious things according to the oath of the Lord between him and our father Abraham. And the children of Israel delayed going forth at night. And when the Egyptians came to them to bring them out, they said to them, are we thieves that we should go forth at night? And the children of Israel asked of the Egyptians, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, and garments. And the children of Israel stripped the Egyptians. And Moses hastened and rose up and went to the river of Egypt and brought up from thence. The coffin of Joseph, and took it with them. And the children of Israel also brought up each man his father's coffin with them, and each man the coffins of his tribe.
Because they didn't want them to be buried in that land.
Yeah, none of their bones. Right.
Yeah.
So that's the end of chapter 80.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we got 11 more chapters to go. All right, so I'm thinking I'm going to knock out 81. And the children of Israel journeyed from the Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides the little ones and their wives. Also, a mixed multitude went up with them, and flocks and herds, even much cattle. And the sojourning of the children of Israel, who dwelt in the land of Egypt in hard labor, was 210 years. And at the end of 210 years, the Lord brought forth the children of Israel from Egypt with a strong hand. And the children of Israel traveled from Egypt and from Goshen and from Ramesses and encamped in Succoth on the 15th day of the first month. And the Egyptians buried all their firstborn whom the Lord had smitten, and all the Egyptians buried their slain for 3 days. Mm. Wow. Wow. verse 7. And the children of Israel traveled from Succoth and encamped in Etham at the end of the wilderness. And on the third day after the Egyptians had buried their firstborn, many men rose up from Egypt and went after Israel to make them return to Egypt. For they repented that they had sent the Israelites away from their servitude. And one man said to his neighbor, surely Moses and Aaron spoke to Pharaoh, saying, we will go 3 days' journey in the wilderness and sacrifice to our Lord our God. Now, therefore, let us rise up early in the morning and cause them to return, and it shall be that if they return with us to Egypt, to the master, then shall we know that there is faith in them. But if they will not return, then will we fight with them and make them come back with great power and a strong hand. And the nobles of Pharaoh rose up in the morning, and with them about 700,000 men. And they went forth from Egypt on that day and came to the place where the children of Israel were. And all the Egyptians saw, and behold, Moses and Aaron and all the children of Israel were sitting behind the Horizon, eating and drinking and celebrating the feast of the Lord. And all the Egyptians said to the children of Israel, surely, you said, we will go a journey for 3 days in the wilderness to sacrifice to our God and return. Now, therefore, this day make 5 days since you went. Why do you not return to your masters? And Moses and Aaron answered them, saying, because the Lord our God has testified in us, saying, you shall no more return to Egypt, but we will betake ourselves to a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord our God has sworn to our ancestors to give us. And when the nobles of Egypt saw that the children of Israel did not hearken to them to return to Egypt, they girded themselves to fight with Israel. And the Lord strengthened the hearts of the children of Israel over the Egyptians, that they gave them a severe beating, and the battle was sore upon the Egyptians. And all the Egyptians fled from before the children of Israel, for many of them perished by the hand of Israel. And the nobles of Pharaoh went to Egypt and told Pharaoh, saying, the children of Israel, the children of Israel have fled and will no more return to Egypt. And in this manner did Moses and Aaron speak to us. All right. Verse 19, and Pharaoh heard this thing, and his heart and the hearts of all the subjects were turned against Israel, and they repented that they had sent Israel. And all the Egyptians advised Pharaoh to pursue the children of Israel to make them come back to their burdens. And when they said each man to his brother, what is this which we have done, that we have sent Israel from our fortitude?
Servitude.
Okay. Servitude. I said fortitude.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Sorry about that, y'all. I got something in my eye. Hold on one second.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, where I'll just leave off.
Okay, we're at 21.
And the Lord strengthened the hearts of all the Egyptians to pursue the Israelites, for the Lord desired to overthrow the Egyptians in the Red Sea. And Pharaoh rose up with harnessed his chariot, and he ordered all the Egyptians to assemble. Not one man was left excepting the little ones and the women. And all the Egyptians went forth with Pharaoh to pursue the children of Israel. And the camp of Egypt was exceedingly large and heavy camp, about 10,000 men. And the whole of this camp went and pursued the children of Israel to bring them back in Egypt. And they reached them encamping by the Red Sea. And the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld all the Egyptians pursuing them. And the children of Israel were greatly terrified of them. And the children of Israel cried to the Lord. And on account of the Egyptians, the children of Israel divided themselves into four divisions. And they were divided in their opinions, for they were afraid of the Egyptians. And Moses spoke to each of them. The first division was of the children of Reuben, Simeon, and Issachar. They resolved to cast themselves into the sea, for they were exceedingly afraid of the Egyptians. And Moses said to them, "Fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will effect this day for you." And the second division was of the children of Zebulun, Benjamin, Naphtali. They resolved to go back to Egypt with the Egyptians. And Moses said to them, "Fear not, for as you have seen the Egyptians this day, so shall you see them no more forever." And the third division was the children of Judah and Joseph. They resolved to go to meet the Egyptians to fight with them. All right. And Moses said to them, "Stand in your places, for the Lord will fight for you, and you shall remain silent." And the fourth division was the children of Levi, Gad, and Asher, and they resolved to go into the midst of the Egyptians to conform them. Okay. How does that happen? I got something in my eye. I'm sorry. It's just, I don't know if it's a hair or what. Hold on.
Okay, take your time, brother. This is...
Where I leave off at, y'all?
33, you can start there again.
And then the fourth division was the children of Levi, Gad, and Asher, and they resolved to go into the midst of the Egyptians to confound them. And Moses said to them, "Remain in your stations and fear not. Only call unto the Lord that ye may save you out of the hands." After this, Moses rose up from the midst of the people, and he prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord God of the whole earth, save now thy people whom thou didst bring forth from Egypt, and let not the Egyptians boast that power and might are theirs." So the Lord said to Moses, "Why doest thou cry unto me? Speak to the children of Israel that they shall proceed, and do thou stretch out thy rod upon the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall pass through it." And Moses did so, and he lifted up his rod upon the sea and divided it.
Okay, hold up.
And the waters... Okay, go ahead.
Number two. Strike two.
No. Verse two?
No, I say strike two for Moses. So Moses prayed to the Lord for the children. They were divided by fours, and you know, he was the leader. He was the one. He and Aaron brought them out of the land of Egypt, showed all of those magnificent things. And then, so they got there, and he allowed his adopted mother to come into the camp with her people, whoever she brought in with them. They the one that went back to Pharaoh, the Egyptians, and wanted to go back and what have you, which kindled all of this here going on. But then after the people divided among themselves, and Moses heard each one of them and said to them, and then when he went to the Lord to pray, and as you say, the Lord asked him, so the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry unto me? It's almost like, I've been with you. I'm with you. Why are you crying out to me? I'm with you. You know, and so that also is like he doubted. He didn't know what was going to happen. They were up against all odds. And so, brother, I just want to point that out to you. They was up against the sea, and Moses cried out to the Lord because the people got scared and nervous and thinking they want to give up and everything. But of all people, Moses seen everything that he was doing firsthand. How could he doubt and think that just because he was in front of the Red Sea, there was no, that the Most High wasn't with him? And that's what I meant about the fact that we have to look at these things, the little things. I mean, you know, he was chosen, though. He still uses us. He used whomever he wants to use, even if we fall short sometimes. He still uses us.
Wow.
And so Moses fell short at that point. This is the second time. Go ahead.
Gotcha. All right. So 37. And Moses did so, and he lifted up his rod upon the sea and divided it. And the waters of the sea were divided into 12 parts. And the children of Israel passed through on foot with shoes, as a man would pass through a prepared road. And the Lord manifests to the children of Israel his wonders in Egypt and in the sea of the hand of Moses and Aaron. Okay. And when the children of Israel had entered the sea, the Egyptians came after them, and the waters of the sea resumed upon them, and they all sank in the water. And not one man was left excepting Pharaoh, who gave thanks to the Lord and believed in him. Therefore, the Lord did not cause him to perish.
Remember.
Okay, gotcha. All
he's
right.
the
All
only
right.
one
Sister
that survived, the Pharaoh. Yes. Yes.
All right. I am getting a little sleepy here.
Okay, brother. Maybe that's what was. Maybe that's what's going on with your eyes, huh?
okay. Yeah. All right. So where did I leave off at?
You're not as strong as you think, huh, brother? You're human.
I'm only
you're
human.
You're a trucker.
This is
you
the
stop,
light.
You travel.
This is the late night. I was, I was excited to read Jasher, y'all, but apparently something's happening. My body is like, okay, it's time to go to bed. All right, so I'm determined to knock out this chapter. Where did I leave off this time? And y'all forgive me for the pauses, okay, because I am literally trying to keep my eyelids up open. All right. Where I leave
Let's start with 40. Let's start with 40.
Okay. All right. Here we go. And when the children of Israel had entered the sea, the Egyptians came after them, and the waters of the sea resumed upon them, and they all sank in the water, and not one man was left excepting Pharaoh, who gave thanks to the Lord and believed in him. Therefore, the Lord did not cause him to perish at that time with the Egyptians. And the Lord ordered an angel to take him from amongst the Egyptians, who cast him upon the land of Nineveh. And he reigned over it for a long time. Nineveh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our angel took the Pharaoh.
Apparently, it's what it says.
And placed him in Nineveh. And he reigned over
it
for a long time. And on that day, the Lord saved Israel from the hand of Egypt, And all the children of Israel saw that the Egyptians had perished, and they had perished. And they beheld the great hand of the Lord and what he had formed in Egypt and in the sea. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, on that day when the Lord caused the Egyptians to fall before them. And all Israel sang in concert, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he is great, greatly exalted. The horse and his rider has he cast into the sea. Behold, it is written in the book of the law of God. After the children of Israel proceeded on their journey and encamped in Marah, and the Lord gave to the children of Israel statutes and judgments in that place in Marah. And the Lord commanded the children of Israel to walk in all his ways and to serve him. And they journeyed from Marah and came to Elim. And in Elim were 12 springs of water and 70 date trees. And the children encamped there by the waters. And they journeyed from Elim and came to the wilderness of Sin on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from Egypt. At that time, the Lord gave the manna to the children of Israel to eat, and the Lord caused food to rain from heaven for the children of Israel day by day. And then the children of Israel ate the manna for 40 years and all the days that they were in the wilderness until they came to the land of Canaan to possess it. And they proceeded from the wilderness of Sin and encamped in Alush. And they proceeded from Alush and encamped in Rephidim. And when the children of Israel were hold on. What? Okay, that's a little weird. Okay. All right, 52, y'all. And when the children of Israel were in Rephidim, Amalek, the son of Eliphaz, the son of Esau, the brother of Zepho, came to fight with Israel. So all this was going on, and Israel's on the other side of the water. They're in a new land. Manna's being, they're eating manna. Now here come Edomites, right? All right, 53. And he brought with him 801,000 men, magicians and conjurers. And he prepared for battle with Israel in Rephidim. And they carried on a great and severe battle against Israel. And the Lord delivered Amalek and his people into the hands of Moses and the children of Israel and into the land of Joshua, the son of Nun, the Ephrathite, the servant of Moses. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the children of Israel smote Amalek and his people at the edge of the sword, but the battle was very sore upon the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Moses, write this thing as a memorial for thee in a book, and place it in the hand of Joshua, the son of Nun, thy servant. And thou shalt command the children of Israel, saying, when thou shalt come to the land of Canaan, thou shalt utterly efface the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Okay. And Moses did so, and he took the book and wrote upon it these words, saying, Amalek has done in thee in the road when thou wentest forth from Egypt, who met thee in the road and smote thee year, even, okay, smote thy year. 59, let me read again. Who met thee in the road and smote thy ear, even those that were feeble behind thee, when thou hast faint and weary. Therefore it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have given thee rest from all thy enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God given thee for an inheritance, to possess it and thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. And the king who shall have pity on Amalek, or upon his memory, or upon his seed, behold, I will require it of him, and I will cut him off from amongst his people. And Moses wrote all these things in a book, and he rejoiced. The children of Israel respecting all these matters. All right, y'all. It just hit me, y'all. It just hit me while I'm reading my eyes. It just start tripping on me. All right, Sistel, I've been read 80 and 81, and I sincerely, want us to just stop right there. I am literally struggling to keep my eyes open, y'all. This is the late night edition. I hope y'all enjoyed it. We got, 33 minutes? We're going to go ahead and call it a wraps right there, y'all. And I want to get a little feedback from Sister Dale. You got yourself
we'll
on mute, Sister
Dale. Next time. Yeah, we'll recap next time and go over this because I can tell that you are sleepy because some of the wordings were going together for you. And so,
right, I kind of struggled.
Never fear. Yeah, you were struggling, but that's okay. We're going to recap and we're going to go over the last portion of this when we come back again. And this is really getting good. You get some rest. And I know everyone else wishes you well and safety because you are a truck driver by trade. And right now, we are going through some historical crisis here in the United States, especially the air quality coming out of Canada onto the lower states. So I just want to say that I present with everyone and everyone be safe and take care. And shalom.
All right. Shalom, shalom to you too, Sister. I'll go ahead and put you on hold right now. All right, y'all. We're wrapping things up. And I guess I'll leave out with this song right here. All right. Sorry about that, y'all. Pausing and struggling. Y'all. That late night, it's hard on me, y'all. I'm a trucker by trade, and my body won't lay down. All right, here we go.
Hit them with the fear of the Lord. Get free.
Get out.
Put the Psalm, chapter 111, verse 10.
Uh-huh.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you fear the Lord, you begin to gain wisdom, read.
Father, please teach me how to overcome evil beneath me. Yeah, it's fake on their fringes and Z's. Cause the flesh of my body be sneaky. Demons wanna devour and eat me. Whether radio, phone, or the TV. See, this walking the truth isn't easy. Yeah. But I read your scriptures and live them. Devil be blinding on me with precision. My spirit, you put lyrics in them. Sometimes I do not feel worthy of your kingdom. But I still stand tall when I sing it. Please do not take my life before the mission. I pray you grant me time to finish. So I don't bring disgrace to my lineage. This generation need healing. Heaven and hell with your choice, that's a given. Y'all don't really get it, just listen. It's like your spiritual body in prison. So thank the Most High for forgiveness. And practice repentance. And in this coming, start cleaning your spirit. Hope you avoiding that fiery sentence. Father, please teach me how to overcome evil beneath me. Yeah, it take more than fringes and ZZ. Cause the flesh of my body be sneaky. Demons wanna devour and eat me. Whether radio, phone, or the TV. See, this walking the truth isn't easy. See, this walking the truth isn't easy. Everybody scared of facing their past. Everybody scared of giving their last. Everybody out here chasing a bag. Not knowing that it came with a tag. Ambition got them going, I said. Got drive, but they throw off the path. Evil spirits, they observing they left. This verse of prayer, cause my spirit be sad. We say repent, but they soften they left. I will please do not show us your wrath. Have mercy when your spirit is bad. Baptize and get their spirit a bath. Most of them never grew up, they dead. The neighborhood is really all that they had. Time is ticking, it could end with a flash. Your grace and mercy really all that we have. Father, please teach me how to overcome evil beneath me. Yeah, it take more than fringes and ZZ. Cause the flesh of my body be sneaky. Demons wanna devour and eat me. Whether radio, phone, or the TV. See, this walking the truth isn't easy. See, this walking the truth isn't easy.
Yeah, who said be aware of the leaven? Whose word hold weight in the heaven? Who you think gon' pay what you owe?
Who you think been getting you ready? Hamashiach, cause he paid it already. Flow cold like the face of a Yeti. We move in silence like the ancient spaghetti. I can really drop the bass if you ready. Babylon about to fall like a levee. I'm preparing while I'm hoping I'm ready. Trump gon' build that wall when you ready. We boxed in like we driving a Chevy. We in the book of Revelations already. Stay woke, cause it's about to get messy. Repent, not a frivolous message. Praying hard that the Father protect us. Father, please teach me. Yeah.
A good understanding of all day that do his commandments.
So you get a good understanding when you follow his commandments. That's why we're able to come up here and tell you that you're Israel.
Right.
That's why we're able to come up here and correct you from your wickedness.
Right.
Because we follow the commandments of the Most High God.
Right.
Therefore, we get the wisdom and understanding of his